Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, the fastest growing B2B radio network in the country. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and it's Monday and we have two fantastic individuals in the studio today, Diana Vowles with Galvanize and Rick Stoddard with Coplex. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Happy to have you here. And I know you drove separately, but eventually you'll probably end up at the same place today since Coplex has their office at Galvanize. Correct, Rick?
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's a great place to be.
It's beautiful. I had a chance to meet you over there several weeks ago and take a tour, and I was just blown away but just by the size and some of the really cool businesses are there. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about not only Coplex, but Galvanize and how that ecosystem works together. So let's start by having you, Rick, tell our listeners who you are and who Coplex is.
Sure, be happy to. So my name is Rick Stoddard. I'm a partner at Coplex. Our focus at Coplex is that we're what's called a startup accelerator. But the biggest difference is in what we do than most accelerators out there. I guess our ideal venture that we work with is someone who is a subject matter expert. They're not a coder, and they've got a business idea that utilizes software. So we can actually help them or assist them in building a software company. So they don't have to be a coder. They don't have to be technically inclined. And we can assist them with the market validation all the way to actually getting a product out to market.
I know it's a growing business, and you and I spoke about some examples. Do you have an example that you can share with our listening
Absolutely.
Audience?
Absolutely. So if we had the time, I could share with you a lot of examples.
Sure.
But a couple comes to mind. We actually had a veterinarian come to us. She was absolutely disgusted with the practice management software that was out there, was dated, and she wanted to do something about it. So she came to us. She has now sold her veterinarian practice.
Wow.
and she has a software company. She is absolutely focused on practice management software now. So that's one great example.
And she really shifted the industry, did she not, with this better program?
She will,
yeah,
for sure.
She's on her way to doing that.
Yes. It's an overused word, but the ventures that we work with, for the most part, there's something disruptive about their approach and their idea. You know, we assist them to actually, you know, build that product as quickly as possible and surround them with business services that helps to help them launch quickly.
And how did you land with Coplex?
I actually came in contact with the CEO. And at the time, I was working with a sales consulting and training company. My background is in technology. I've been in semiconductor industry, also software for years. I was missing, what's a good way to say it? I guess the rush of being around technology and startups and that whole energy. Decided to leave the consultancy and didn't know what was next. And just happened to have a conversation at the right time with the CEO at Coplex. And that's how I arrived there.
The home office or the corporate office is in California?
No, we were started in California. And at one time, that was the corporate office. But for all intents and purposes, it's here now in Phoenix.
Excellent. At Galvanize.
At Galvanize.
And when we were touring, you're taking me around. I know that you had are moving into, or perhaps you already have, into this new huge spot at Galvanize.
Yes. Yes. We have a space that we'll be moving into soon, which we're excited about.
Excellent. So we'll hear from you again a little bit more, but let's welcome Diana to the show.
Great. Good morning.
Yes. Tell us about Galvanize.
So Galvanize is a very exciting tech hub. We've just opened in Phoenix just over 6 months ago, and companies like Coplex and others are there. We do three things at Galvanize. We teach students. So we teach web development and data science programs, and we work with entrepreneurs. So we have 100 different companies working out of Galvanize already. Coplex is one of the largest ones. We have a few other big companies there, Clear Voice and Picmonic. And then we have dozens of small companies, startup entrepreneurs, single person operations. So it's a dynamic, thriving community. So it serves as workspace for the entrepreneurs, but it's much more than workspace. It's really about the collaboration and creating a space for the conversation and technology. So everything that Galvanize does is under the umbrella of bringing industry and education together. So we do that with training our students to put them out in the workforce. And because of our setup, because of these campuses that we have, oftentimes it works where the students will graduate from our program and they'll have interaction with the startups that are in our space. They'll get to know them. They may end up working for them. One of our first graduates out of Galvanize Phoenix graduated in July and started working for a member company in August. So it's kind of bringing it full circle. Now, while they don't have to go work for a member company, they can go to work anywhere and they're in incredibly high demand. Because of our environment, there's a lot of collaboration. So that just naturally happens.
It's such a cool space, right? It was a food distribution warehouse?
Yeah, it was a produce warehouse, actually built in 1946 by the Del Webb Company. And I had no idea Del Webb did commercial construction, but apparently they were a very big commercial builder before they were residential. So it's 120,000 square foot produce warehouse, and Galvanize has about half of it. It's a really neat building. So I know you've been there, but there are 33 loading docks. So there's these cool garage doors throughout, and many people have their suites in those areas so they can open up their offices to the outdoors. And for the next 8 months or so, it'll be nice in Phoenix to do that.
Right. Most of the year we can, with the exception of June, July, August, a little bit of September. And it's still, Galvanize still has this really cool vibe to it and kind of maintained that look as far as just being open and expansive and just...
Yeah, it's the space itself, when you walk into it, there's really no other office space like it in Phoenix. You walk in and you've got, 30-foot high ceilings, wide open spaces. You'll see people collaborating at the open desks. You'll see them at the kitchens. But that's really part of our design. Our design is to create intentional collaboration and create spaces for that to happen.
And how do these students land here? That was I want to say I couldn't get over the gorgeous amphitheater, if that's the right term for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many people does that seat?
So the amphitheater is used for, it's used for many events that we have there. It'll hold about 300 people.
Wow.
So we tend to host a lot of tech events because that's our focus, but it is an event space that we will utilize for other events, non-tech events. We've even had one event we had there, they were flying drones within the amphitheater.
Oh, wow.
So, and we had swing dancing at our campus one time too. So mostly it's tech events, but we do some fun other things just because it's a cool space.
It is a really beautiful space. So back to my question around the students, how are students finding out about Galvanize? You're not just here in Phoenix, obviously.
Yeah. So Galvanize was founded 5 years ago this month in Denver, and it was founded with the premise of doing a better job of bringing industry and education together. There are many educational entities that are training web developers, and there are many, there are incubators, there are accelerators. Our founders, Jim Dieters and Lawrence Mandes, saw the opportunity to really bring those together. So the students that we're training, we have full-time immersive programs, so they're with us 9 to 5 every day, learning either web development or data science. And they graduate from our program, and they're going out in the workforce. Typically, a web developer can start as a junior developer in an organization. Half of our first graduating class has been hired by Phoenix-based companies, so
fantastic.
That's great. They're staying here in the market. That's what we want to see. But they are the other markets that Galvanize is in. So we're based in Denver. We have 3 locations in Colorado. We're in San Francisco, Seattle, Austin, New York, and Phoenix. So we're in the major tech hubs. And the reason that Galvanize has been so successful is there's just a tremendous shortage of developers. I've read stats that by 2021, there will be a need for 1.4 million developers, and there will be 400,000 in the workplace. So there's a million,
wow.
There's a million gap there. And we're making a small dent in closing that gap, but it's a huge gap.
Why the lag? Do either of you know?
It's many things. Companies are expanding their web presence faster than they ever have in the past, causing the need for more developers.
Right.
Our educational entities are traditional university environments. They're training computer science students, but they aren't able to change their curriculum as fast as industry is changing.
Okay.
So to change curriculum in a traditional educational environment, it takes months and months and years. And by then, the technology may have changed and it's no longer useful. versus our model and others similar to ours. We bring instructors from industry and we can rapidly evolve the curriculum as industry is changing. Because if our students are graduating and they're not getting employed out in the workforce, we need to change our curriculum quickly.
Yeah, I think what we're encountering, it's a, Diana said, there's a combination of things going on, but it's definitely that there's an explosion in innovation.
Yes.
That utilizes software. And where there's a misalignment is that you've got to be extremely quick and nimble to respond. And the way our education has been set up is not to accommodate that. So consequently, we have a gap. It's a real gap. It's going to continue to be there for a while. And until we effectively address that, then, you know, we're always in danger of the, you know, of ventures going out, you know, outside the United States or even outside of Arizona. So it's a constant battle.
How has the startup scene been changing in Arizona over the recent years? Are we finding Galvanize fits right in there as giving them a safe place to land and get kicked off?
Yeah, there's been a tremendous growth in the startup scene in the last 12 to 18 months. I've been in Arizona for 12 years now, and what I've seen happen in the last couple years, it far exceeds anything I'd seen up to that point. What you're seeing is many different companies, and I'm sure Rick can touch on this too, because he works with many of those. They're starting to see examples of successes in Phoenix, and they're emulating those. They're also seeing, because Phoenix is a very geographically spread out market, in the past, it's been difficult just by proximity for people to collaborate. So Galvanize and others are really making a point to, let's combine forces, let's really push the tech scene forward. You may not know this, but there are over 240 software companies based in Arizona now. I wouldn't have guessed that a year ago.
I wouldn't either, yeah.
But the difference now is I think you're seeing more collaboration between them, and they're recognizing that growing the whole, you know, the greater Phoenix area or the Arizona community is much more powerful than sitting in their pocket of, you know, business. They might be in North Scottsdale, they might be in Chandler, they might be in Tempe, they might be in Phoenix. But really, I'm seeing a lot more collaboration and communication between the groups.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I've lived in Phoenix now, 20 plus years. I think I really started, when I started seeing a shift was about 5 years ago, as far as the startup community in itself. What's been interesting is, whereas in the past, and again, this speaks to what Diana shared, having all the different pockets of in the valley collaborate. You might have a pocket of technology companies on, you know, in Scottsdale, or maybe some people in Tempe and Phoenix. But as a community, there wasn't a lot of collaboration. And so one of the biggest things that I've definitely seen is more collaboration. And I think that's to be attributed to a couple things. I think the timing is right. I think we have a lot of new leadership emerging. It certainly is. I think we have a bright future as far as diversifying our economy here. So the leaders in our state understand the economic impact of, you know, growing this whole, you know, startups can have a big part of the economy. And the other thing that's definitely very important is that there is dollars for investment, and we're starting to see more of that. And the traditional real estate investor is beginning, you know, some of them are beginning to get educated that they can diversify their portfolio. It's a different type of investment, but there's still opportunity there, which has a great deal with, you know, continuing to see the growth. The other thing is that we've had some success stories, companies that actually just start, you know, I mean, they were a startup and they grew into a large company and were brought, you know, bought by either a PE firm or a venture capital firm, got involved with them. And the founders of those organizations have stayed here, and they are starting new companies, and they are mentoring, and they're really giving back. So that's really key to our success as well.
And when these companies or these individuals are working on their own in different areas of the Metro Phoenix, they don't have a chance to come together and say, we want the money to stay in Arizona, right? So now they have this opportunity, this shared workspace to check in with each other, to collaborate, to form new partnerships. it's definitely changing the way that startups and tech companies are going, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and I even see it from the city government, there in the past, there's typically been a, well, we want this company in my city and not the city next door.
Right.
Well, the reality is we're one metro area. And while I have had positions where I lived in Phoenix and worked in Scottsdale, and then I work in Phoenix again now, we're all one community. And I you can go to any company and talk to their employees, and you'll find a good number of them that don't live in that city. So it just doesn't make sense to focus on one specific city. We have to grow the entire community. I think it's interesting what you're seeing with the, you know, with the Amazon headquarters, and you're hearing Valley Cities talking about, well, we want them here and we want them here. And I think it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's to get players like that, you know, whether they're as big as Amazon or others, it's a region. It's a regional opportunity, and there's got to be regional collaboration, because if you bring the employees in and you can't educate if you bring the companies in and you can't educate the employees' families or provide the quality of social life and culture, it doesn't matter. And that's going to happen throughout the region, not just in one little pocket in the city. So I'm seeing more collaboration among the cities, at least outwardly, but it's got to grow as a region.
Yeah. Well, another thing I want to add to that, that plays into this is that, you know, ASU continues to grow and become known as an innovation university. In fact, again, this year, they were ranked number one in the country, which, you know, that's a very strong message that is being received by people in you know, in other cities and other markets. The other thing is, I think we have, from a governor's standpoint, I think we have a pro-business mindset. I think also it just all, you know, there's a lot of the right dynamics right now for us to continue to grow.
And it needs to.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
The one area that I also see growing, and I see there, I see a changing view on it is, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years, really probably 15 years, you had a lot of companies who would look to Phoenix to have their back office operations here, their customer service, their call centers, right. And which is great. And I, you know, I've run a couple of those, but there were in the past companies weren't taking Phoenix seriously as a true tech market where they could bring their tech talent here. And I see that changing. There's been a few examples lately. Double Dutch out of San Francisco has just decided to add a tech team to Phoenix because they've had their sales and account management teams here. They see the value of the employer base, and they're now starting to see the tech talent here. So I think you see more companies like that taking us seriously as a true tech market, and it's raising up the whole community.
It makes a substantial difference, not only for our economy, but also our community. And it's always funny. I've never thought about how we really need to think regionally versus, you know, municipality, yeah. Because we really are a state and a great state at that, with an opportunity for great housing, great style of living. Certainly the weather is beautiful. And do you find then that the government, the municipalities, as well as the Arizona state government, are helping to bring more businesses here in a collaborative way? Or do we still need them to do that?
I think it can always be improved. Where I see the glue between the different entities is different organizations that work with the government,
yes,
entities. And I see several nonprofits. Institute for Digital Progress is one of them that's doing a fantastic job of getting the different municipalities to work together to promote the whole region, help grow the region, because it can't be one city at a time.
Arizona Tech Council as well. I don't know.
Yep. If,
yeah, I know that
they absolutely are part of the fabric.
Yeah, absolutely. How does Galvanize and Coplex then work to create an ecosystem? What is the relationship there outside of Coplex just having a space?
Well, from our standpoint is, you know, Galvanize is our partner. And so, in fact, you know, we do reside there, and we believe for us it was a perfect move in that we're at the center of an ecosystem. And you know, the thing to stress is that what's being built here definitely is a startup ecosystem, and what Galvanize has brought into town is really, I guess, the next step up as far as offering a collaborative space. So we, for us, in some cases, some of our ventures are actually reside in Galvanize as well. They've chosen to have space there. And it's just a, It's just great to know I have a partner. I always feel comfortable at, you know, referring her, you know, Diana to other ventures here in town. That really is the place, a great place to house your organization.
Rick commented on something there. Rick and I are oftentimes introducing each other to different people for a variety of reasons. Great example is a couple founders from San Francisco came in town last week, and I think you met them, the guys from Red Crow. And I looked around Galvanize and said, who in Galvanize needs to know these people,
perfect,
whether it's for their business or one of their partners, and reached out to Rick and said, Rick, want to meet these guys? And then he and I were also brainstorming on, are there any other companies here that we should introduce them to? Because now that Phoenix is getting to be known and getting recognized by folks in the Bay Area coming here to meet our businesses, we want to give them as much exposure as we can.
It's an excellent example. It really summarizes everything you both have already spoken to, that same opportunity, knowing that somebody so with such leverage is coming to the Valley. If we were in different cities, different offices, again, spread out, the opportunity to do that becomes more cumbersome and delayed and harder to get everybody together. But you're already sitting in this ecosystem and can just look out across the floor and just say, look, you know, who needs to meet these people and who do they know that needs to be in front of these folks? And to be able to do that within, you know, a couple of hours and one visit makes it far more streamlined and powerful, of course.
Yeah. And I knew four examples from my own personal interaction with them. So I introduced him to those four companies, kicked it over to Rick, and Coplex works with so many other companies that I'm not even necessarily aware of. So Rick was able to take that and carry it a little further. So I looked at that opportunity and said, okay, these guys from San Francisco are in here and they're here for one day. How can we maximize their exposure to the great companies in Phoenix and help those companies grow and scale their business? And that's what we're all about, is helping people grow and scale their business.
And you guys as well, Coplex is doing that as well. There's a $5 million valuation in as little as 6 months for some of the companies that have come through Coplex.
Yes. Yeah. The whole design of the 6 month program is really take an idea. Someone may just have, it may be notes on a napkin, and be able to take that idea. And one of the first things is extremely important, making sure there's actually a market out there for that idea. You know, I've yet to meet an entrepreneur that didn't think their idea was great, which I would want them to think that. That the challenge is there really a market for that, and doing that homework before you decide to heavily invest in it. And you know, I get the ask every time I sit down with a prospective venture. You know, I'm typically asked, "What do you think of my idea?" And my standard response is, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the market thinks. The market never lies. And so in finding that, then you can actually, then you can come to that point where it makes sense actually to build a minimum viable product and begin looking at revenue models and looking at, you know, lean branding, looking at user acquisition, their unit economics, so that they're positioned well. And they come in, as you said, they come in at pre-revenue, but at the end of that 6 months, actually generating a revenue and could have an valuation upwards to $4 to $5 million, which positions them very well in regards to going out and talking to investors.
Right, because without that, how does that work for them? They're a lone ranger.
They're a lone ranger, and it's also one of the things that we've learned. And certainly why we do some of the things we do is that it's all about de-risking the venture. So a potential investor, there's certain things they love to see. They like to see that, have you gone through a process for market validation? Do you actually have a minimum viable product? Do you have a revenue model? Can you actually show that you've made some money? And it doesn't have to be a lot, just that there is a revenue model that is working.
Is there a particular, you mentioned the veterinarian, if someone were interested in looking more into Coplex, who's the perfect person for you? It really is any industry.
It's any industry. They're a subject matter expert again. So they could be a lawyer, they could be a doctor, they could be a banker, it could be someone in corporate America. They've always had the urge to do that venture thing, but they've never really known how, but they recognize an opportunity. So that, you know, there's so many different. Now, one thing is definitely a qualifier for us. It's people that are more experienced They've either been a serial entrepreneur or they're involved in that whatever that subject matter expertise. They've been involved in it from a business perspective for a reasonable period of time.
And that's important because why?
Maturity of the people that we're working with, because in fact, we're relying that they're the subject matter experts and they're bringing some that expertise to us that we can best assist them and then move them through the process as quickly as possible.
Diana, with Galvanize, you mentioned that, was it in Colorado? There's several different Galvanize locations.
Yes, we were founded in Denver and we have two Denver locations and one Boulder location. And those continue to be our busiest campuses.
Do you see, I know Galvanize has only been here since February?
Since February, yeah.
Right, which is incredible. I mean, I just can't get over the growth that not only I got to visibly see when I was at your location, but even just hearing the stories today with the two of you here. Is there a plan then, do you believe, for other locations in the Metro Phoenix area?
There could be down the road. At this point, we're pretty early, so we're just getting our classes ramped up and have, like I said, we've got 100 companies there. I would love to see that down the road. We're not quite there yet, though,
sure.
But I'd love to see it.
Well, yeah, it's only been not even a half a year yet.
Well, I want to open up the Flagstaff facility, okay?
Yes, yeah. And I'll be up there just, in the summer months, yeah. June, July, and August.
One of the things that we're doing in terms of getting more outreach is we're working with folks in Tucson with U of A and also in Flagstaff with NACET up at NAU. And the idea is, let's help these entrepreneurs collaborate, throughout the state. And we've even talked about, reciprocal partnerships where Galvanize members, when it's 115 degrees here, can go to Flagstaff and work on Fridays. I'm all up for that one.
Right.
But the same kind of idea in Tucson, again, being that we need to create the environment for collaboration. But I'd love to have a Flagstaff branch and a Tucson branch.
Absolutely. Is Galvanize Phoenix similar in size then to some of the other locations?
This is our third largest campus.
It is.
So our largest campus is San Francisco and then New York second and Phoenix third.
And back to the students. Are these students typically just out of high school or is it a second degree for them?
Yeah. So our student base has amazed me. First of all, it is the tremendous diversity that I'm seeing. Our web development students look a little different than data science.
Okay.
So a web developer could come into our program with some coding experience. Maybe they've done some HTML. They might have created their own website or taken some courses in high school or college. So a web developer can come in with a small amount of coding experience and jump into the six-month program. And it's an intense 6 months. And they can come out of that successfully and get a tremendous job as a web developer. The data science students, so that could be somebody right out of high school or somebody mid-career that's changing. Our student range, there's been a 40-year age range between our youngest and oldest student
Wow.
in our program so far, which has blown me away.
I think that's really rare in any industry.
It really is. It's anything from, we've got a couple that are right out of high school that had tremendous experience going into our program, upwards to, somebody who worked for Verizon for 15 years and was reskilling herself because she saw where the industry is going, to a veteran who's, probably close to 60 and wanting to shift gears and wanting to be in tech and they're all succeeding. So it's been heartwarming for me to see the diversity of backgrounds and see people go through the program successfully. So our other program, our data science program, looks a little bit different than web development. It requires a heavy math and stats background. So it typically is people who are a little further along in their career. And just to give you an idea, people who come into the data science program across all of our campuses, about half of them already have a master's or a PhD.
Okay.
So these are people further along in their careers. They might be an engineer, a mathematician. They might be running business analytics for a company and looking to upskill themselves in the data science realm because it's incredibly valuable.
And is that a 9-to-5 commitment for them as well?
It is. The data science program is 12 weeks long. And so it's a 3-month program and the web development one is a 6-month program, but they're both full-time 9-to-5 in classroom training and lab time after that.
And they're leaving with a certification
Yeah, they leave with a certificate from our program. Our focus has always been not about the certificate, but about the placement afterwards. So across all of our campuses, the numbers are pretty amazing. So we place more than 85% of our students within 6 months of graduation, and the average starting salary for the web developers out of our program is $78,000, and the average starting salary for data science is $111,000. So these are good paying jobs.
Yeah.
These are very competitive jobs and jobs that Arizona needs.
I'm just fascinated. Rick, talk from a Coplex perspective. When you're in Galvanize, are you finding that some of these companies are coming to you to have these rich conversations around collaboration or even introductions? Diana mentioned that you two often come together and say, who can we introduce to who? But do you find that other companies will seek Coplex out to have that conversation as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things I purposely do at the facility, we have our own offices. I set out in the open space, and I purposely do that because it's an opportunity to really be in conversations. If I was isolated from that room, that I wouldn't necessarily have. So I find it to be extremely conducive to having some very positive conversations.
And do I remember, I hope I'm thinking of the right location, but there have been a couple companies that have started at Galvanize and have already left for a bigger space. Has that happened yet?
You know, that can be very typical on our campuses. And frankly, sometimes that's a very good thing.
Oh, I would think so.
What we'll often see is a company starts at Galvanize, and because our model is super flexible and it's month to month, they can grow and scale their company. So they might start with a desk. They might add a second desk. They might go to a suite. You know, they can add one at a time as their company grows. What we find very often is companies will grow up and they'll sort of grow out of our space, but they still want to be involved in the community and they still want to be engaged with our students and the opportunity to hire our students. So they might keep a desk or two there just so they are on the campus.
And come and hang out and connect with people.
Have their meetings there, work out of there just to stay connected to the community. That's the number one thing I hear in Phoenix about why companies have moved out of either a traditional real estate office or a workspace that was somewhere further out in the valley is they want to be a part of the conversation. They want to be in the tech scene. They want to have access to the talent. And one thing that is also very common with companies that are hiring partners with Galvanize is they will work with us to utilize our students for capstone projects. So a capstone project is done at the last quarter of our program, and it is a student working on a real live data set or an app, a development of an app or modification of an app. It typically is something that a company might want to get done, but maybe it's been on the back burner because they don't have the resources to do it.
Excellent.
So we'll work with one of our students and actually do the project, and they'll present it in a very public forum. In fact, our data science capstones are this week. We invite the public to come in and see those. So as an employer, you know, what a tremendous opportunity. You can see somebody at work. You can see how they present not only their technical skills.
Absolutely.
You can see how they respond to questions and how they think on their feet. So our capstone projects are probably the number one way that employers want to work with us to get access to the talent. And it worked perfectly in our very first cohort that graduated in July, watching the capstones. I remember watching this young woman, Ellie. She was amazing. And I looked at her project and I was like, I can't believe that she did that amount of work because they're done in a 2 to 3 week time span. But the company she did the project for was in the room. And I watched their team and their eyes, they were blown away. And 2 weeks later, they hired her.
Of course
so
they did.
So that's the way it's supposed to work.
Absolutely.
You know, again, we don't necessarily push our students to go to work for member companies or stay at our campus if it's not a right fit for them.
But the opportunity is there,
yeah.
What a rich opportunity. So you mentioned that the capstone presentations that are open to the public, how do we would get on Galvanize's website to find out about when and where and how that's all happening?
Galvanize.com, Phoenix Events. So this Thursday's capstone will present our first data science graduates, and they'll be presenting their projects. It was interesting when I went to the last capstone, I saw some recruiting teams that were sitting in the row behind me, and they were looking at each other, and I could see what they were doing. They were like, no, I want to hire that one. No, right, I want to hire that one. And I could see the looks on their faces were like, the back off. Back off. That one's mine.
It's like the Shark Tank and the voice for web design and for everything IT.
It is. It's also a great experience for the students to have to get up in front and do public speaking.
Well, it's
they're in front of 100, 120 people presenting these projects and getting questions from seasoned developers. So it's a tremendous experience for the students and for the companies who may want to hire them.
Wow. Fantastic. Let's hear from both of you as we kind of close out our time together. First of all, I'd love to invite you both back. And I know that Galvanize has plenty of businesses who would benefit from some radio time telling their great story. So please, I hope you'll invite them to come back as well. You can either come and hang with them or you can send them on their own. Rick, how do people get a hold of you and Coplex?
Well, you know, I'm going to do something that I don't typically do. I'm actually going to put out there a phone number.
Oh, I love it. You know, a lot of people do that here at Business
Someone
Radio
would
X.
like to reach me directly.
Love it.
It's 602-881-1006. That's probably, you can certainly call me or text me. You could also reach me via my email, which is rick.stoddard@coplex.com. You know, if you got an idea, love to just sit down and, you know, at the end of the day, we certainly will find a way to assist you. It may not be in alignment with us, but it's all about plugging you into the right spot in the ecosystem.
Well, I love that because when we met at Alliances, we had an instant connection, but it was that kindness and that generosity to say, Karen, let's just have a conversation. Come check out our office. Come, you know, meet the team at Galvanize. And that felt so inclusive and so welcoming that I see that thread through everything that you do. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with Galvanize, can people just stop by for a tour?
Yeah, we're open 8:30 to 5. Our front doors are open. Our members have access 24/7, but we can give a tour anytime during the day. It's best to contact us and schedule one.
Sure.
The easiest way, so I'll give two things. One is my phone number, if anyone wants to contact me directly, 602-501-8381. And the easiest email to use, because my name's kind of long and spelled strangely, is phoenix@galvanize.com. And that email will come to me. And if someone wants a tour, I'm happy to offer them a tour and connect them to the resources that we have in place and perhaps connect them to Coplex if it makes sense.
I just got to remind Diana that I give almost as many tours as she does.
I believe that.
Which does.
Yeah, I believe that. And I'm sure you're not the only two, right? There's how many businesses you said over?
Yeah, there's over 100 in Galvanize Phoenix. There's across all the Galvanize campuses, there's 2,500 companies.
Incredible. It's been a pleasure to get to know both of you better and to hear more about Coplex and Galvanize. And again, the opportunity is open to come back and join us anytime. On behalf of Phoenix Business Radio X, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people, I'm Karen Nowicki, and we'll see you next time.